Insight on Business the News Hour is made possible through the support of Focus and Find, helping businesses discover the power of productivity through a diverse workforce. FocusandFind.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business. Grateful that you are listening to us from wherever on the planet you happen to be. With us is a returning guest to the NewsHour. Her name is Stephanie Morris. She is the Executive Director of the Refugee Alliance of Central Iowa. And coming up in June is a whole bunch of stuff going on, not only in Central Iowa, but all over the place, that is in honor and respect of individuals who are, yes, refugees and immigrants to this country. Stephanie, welcome back. Grateful to have you with us again.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So what's so special about June? Tell me about that.
Well, there's a lot of things that are going on in Des Moines in June. It's a very busy month, celebrating a lot of different communities. We have, of course, Capital City Pride going on. We have Juneteenth. We also have on June 20th is the internationally recognized date. That is the World Refugee Day. So this is a date that was designated by the United Nations High Commission for Refugees. They are the international agency that process every single application, every single refugee, asylee, any of the displaced persons worldwide. When they are processed to figure out what their next steps are going to be, that is done through the United Nations High Commission for Refugees.
And what's that date again?
So, yeah, it's June 20th.
So things that are out there to recognize individuals who are refugees or immigrants, this is the day, right? June 20?
Yeah, yep. It's we've been planning this for about 10 years. It's put on by and for refugees. We have a lot of different ethnicities that call Des Moines or Central Iowa home. And in Des Moines Public Schools alone, we have well over 140 languages.
Oh my.
So that would represent, you know, each kind of individual ethnicity. And that's of students, you know, 10 or more that speak those languages. So we have a lot of different communities that end up calling Des Moines or Central Iowa home through a lot of different ways.
Will this also be happening in other places around the country? Are there your other counterparts that are out there that are in the whole world of refugees and immigrants, will they also be celebrating in June?
Yeah. Yep. So there are quite a few different places around the country that celebrate World Refugee Day. I think St. Louis before COVID, for example, their welcome center, sees, 10,000 people over 3 days. And our celebration here in Des Moines is a little under 2,000 typically. Normally we have a 1 day, very large celebration where we have cultural performances. So singing and dancing, music, poetry, storytelling, coffee ceremonies. We have activities for kids and families, games, different booths. We have a, at times contentious, but wonderful and amazing soccer tournament. And food from, up to, well over, 20 different restaurants that we've done in the past. That's all offered for free to the community.
Wow. But this year you're doing something different. Would that be accurate? You're taking the month of June to be able to celebrate the cultural significance of so many individuals who have come to this country. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, it definitely is. The past 2 years, our celebration and events were 100% virtual.
Right.
Our refugee and immigrant communities have, been very disproportionately exposed to and affected by COVID. So based off of feedback we had from community leaders, we did keep that 100% virtual. This year, we, obviously we want to be together in person and have this very large scale celebration. We have a lot of things to celebrate and would love to be able to do that all together. But again, just kind of based off feedback we got, we're actually going to be offering a series of events that will be smaller and it will be spread out. And there are a lot of different ways that people will be able to engage in each at their own comfort level.
Can we talk about any of those?
Sure,
yeah.
Absolutely. So, to kick off the month, we secured the rights to screen the documentary Flee, which is about a man's recollection of his journey escaping Afghanistan when he was a young boy. This documentary just won a lot of awards at Sundance and Cannes Film Festivals. And so we will be screening that at the Des Moines Art Center on Thursday, June 2nd.
Got it. Wow. So you're kicking the month off right away with a big deal.
Yeah. We're very honored, you know, to be able to bring this film to our community, to be able to share, you know, a lot of different aspects of yeah. just how individual each person's journey is to calling Central Iowa home when they come here from other countries. So this is one of those unique stories, and we're very honored and very excited to share it.
All right, kicking off June with a screening of Flea at the Des Moines Art Center. That journey, that perilous journey from Afghanistan to wherever, is replaying itself now in Ukraine, with so many individuals now trying to flee, if you will, that war-torn area as well. But that story is not singular. This happens all over in Africa, in all kinds of countries where individuals who are persecuted and oftentimes, excuse the word, hunted, are seeking asylum in a place like the United States. All right, so this is all about a whole month of celebration of folks that may have come here from one country or another. What else you got on tap?
Yeah, so we have a lot of different events happening kind of all throughout the month, but one of the other things that we'll be offering is we have a refugee resettlement, kind of refugee resettlement 101 fact walk that we'll have posted outside, and the location and date people will be able to find on our website, which is refugeealllianceofcentraliowa.org. On the website, you'll be able to find all of the dates and locations and times for everything moving forward. But that is a great way for people to get outside, to get active and get moving, and also learn about the history of refugee resettlement specific to Iowa. So, you know, I think that there are probably quite a few, you know, of our older generation that are well aware of former governor Robert Ray's history and impact on refugee resettlement specifically in Iowa. But there's a lot of new, you know, these newer generations that aren't, or, you know, even when I was growing up, I thought that, you know, he had checked boxes that said, yes, we would accept it. I had never known how actively that he had actually fought to bring people here and to keep entire communities like our Tidom community together. And then, of course, you know, what's going on with our regular refugee resettlement program, but also this past year with Afghanistan and now with Ukraine, we have a lot going on. And there's a lot of great information that I think, you know, would benefit people from hearing and understanding better. So it's, again, a great way to get outside, get vitamin D, get moving, but also, you know, stay safe with COVID exposure still happening and, you know, so learn some great new information.
Stephanie Morris is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. She is the executive director of the Refugee Alliance of Central Iowa, talking about some events happening in June. And yes, we will have links to the website on the radio blog so you can check this out for yourself. Talk to us a little bit, and all of the events and things are on the website, so we won't spend a lot of time talking about all of that, but please know that we do have links on the radio blog for that. Stephanie, when it comes to resettlement, what are the biggest issues that you see that are being faced by individuals who come to this country, not just Central Iowa, but hey, I mean, I suspect you speak with others in this business, if you will, all across the country. What are maybe the top two or three things that are concerning to you and that your organizations need?
Those are big questions. I think that I think the number one thing people maybe don't understand or are unaware of is really an international issue. And that is, you know, after Ukraine, as of right now, and this was like numbers last week, of course, everything changes every day, but we have 96 million people in the world who are displaced, who are not living in their homes. And those people are forced to flee because of violence, conflict, because of weather, because of climate, because of drought, famine. There's a lot of reasons people are forced to flee their homes. Nobody wants to leave their homes, the safety and security of having a structure, of going someplace they don't know, of being vulnerable, of being completely, you know, in the hands of others, of other places, of other, of strangers' mercy. So yeah, we have 96 million people displaced. Of that, you know, we have 24 million people that have reached that quote unquote refugee designation by UNHCR. But of those 24 million people, and this was before COVID, less than 1% are resettled every year. So we have people that live and die in refugee camps. A lot of people are very vulnerable in those camps. We've had thousands of people that have gone missing in the Tigray region of Ethiopia. There was a fire that killed quite a few people of the Rohingya community in Bangladesh. And so, you know, the average stay in a refugee camp in 2017 was 17 years. So the way that the immigration system works worldwide definitely needs, could definitely use some review. You know, in challenges locally, I will say housing has oftentimes been our biggest inhibitor to being able to have people, especially with our Afghan community, with so many people arriving in such a short amount of time, the biggest inhibitor to having people in their own private homes as quickly as possible. We just don't have enough people willing to rent to refugees. To not have a source of income on a rental application is a way that you can be excluded from potentially renting somewhere. So we have a very few number of landlords willing to work with us. I will say those that do, though, could oftentimes attest.
They're surprised.
Well, I'm not sure if they're surprised, but I will say the landlords that do rent to refugees are very, very happy that they made that decision.
Yeah. Stephanie, sometimes those of us who are naturally born citizens of whatever country it happens to be, or happen to be the ruling majority, whatever that is, take for granted all of the things that we have. And so often, individuals come from other parts of the world, and they are all of a sudden have opportunities and freedoms that they never imagined having in their home country. And those folks seem to really appreciate that. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would definitely agree with the kind of large amount of the overarching kind of gratitude coming from refugee and immigrant communities that I've worked with. I think everyone's experience is different. However, I will say that there's a lot of great data that support how much of a smaller percentage refugee and immigrants are, you know, commit crimes. I think that there are, I think it's surprising for people to know that when refugees arrive, they actually have to pay back the plane tickets and transportation costs it took to get here. And they only have assistance for 3 months. And then they're required to be, you know, financially independent and to have what they need to be able to make things work. It's a really hard and very complicated process, but you know, the majority of those that have come here, do reach that 100% financially independent in such a quick time period.
You know, one of the things that's very interesting about that with regard to economics and business is that we have seen this replicate itself every century, in every community that has been a refugee. In other words, we can go back to the immigration issues of the Irish and the Germans and the Jews, and the list goes on and on and on. And those people that came over here who are now mainstreamed into our culture all were welcomed in by many times their own group. Is that happening today where, say, Afghans who are coming from Afghanistan, obviously, are migrating here, and then is it kind of a tribal thing where, in other words, they remain among those who are also from Afghanistan?
The majority of refugee resettlement that happens in Des Moines typically are what are called family tie cases. So there are going to be people petitioning brothers or uncles or aunts or children to come join them here in Des Moines. So they do have an established community. Whether it's a large established community or small, they do have people that they know here. with our Afghan arrivals, a lot of them came without knowing, without having family or other relatives that were here, but have quickly, I think, made a pretty established community among themselves. We have an Afghan grocery store that has opened, and you know, there we did have Afghan arrivals that had happened over the last 20 years, and actually before that as well, prior to this past year. So. Yeah, one of the things, you know, one of the main goals of RASI is really, making sure that our ethnic community-based nonprofits, our community leaders, our faith leaders, those that are actually, you know, the liaison to basic lifeline services or information, that are from the communities, that represent the communities, that those agencies and leaders have what they need to be able to advocate on behalf of their community. You know, RASI is very diligent about standing behind or alongside community leaders or our ECBRs or ethnic community-based nonprofits to help advocate for their needs, to make sure that wherever possible that they're being invited to planning, to tables of planning and decision-making. You know, again, there's a lot of different ethnicities that and different groups that call Iowa home or that call Central Iowa home. And, you know, being able to advocate on behalf of and assist their own communities is a really important part of what we do.
Final question for you, Stephanie, as we roll into June and all of the festivities that are around not only Central Iowa, but across the United States as we celebrate. I think people would be surprised, quite frankly, about the number of refugee and immigrant businesses that are located in Central Iowa. Any idea about numbers?
That is a great question and something that changes pretty regularly. I can say that the refugee resettlement program, so refugee resettlement, immigration has been going on since the beginning of time.
Sure.
But the modern resettlement program, as we that currently exists, has been happening since the mid 70s, really since the fall of Saigon. And Iowa has resettled over 40,000 people. Beyond that, though, I mean, from some of our original Vietnamese arrivals through Bosnia, South Sudan, and in the early 90s, we have second and even third generation. Of those arrivals. And then also there's a lot of secondary migration that happens. So like our Congolese, our Burmese communities that were resettled here. We have a lot of people that have moved here from other parts of the state. So there's a lot of people, there's well over 100,000 people that just, you know, that have come through the resettlement program or are here as a result of. So in terms of businesses, a lot. We have a lot of restaurants. We have a lot of grocery stores. And we have a ton of small businesses, construction businesses, hair care, personal service businesses. There's a lot. And that's one of the things that we over the past 2 years have tried to offer is a way for people to learn about, in particular, the restaurants and grocery stores, and to encourage people to get out and try new restaurants, to try new foods. And that list is actually on the RASI website. We have a tab for World Refugee Day. And so, tab is still there that people can get on. I know that there's a lot of, you know, there's been a lot of changes since COVID or through COVID. But it's a really great list to work from. And some of my very most favorite restaurants are
listed
there.
I'm sure that they are. Conversation, by the way, is happening in the village of Windsor Heights and home to about 5,200 people. Both Stephanie and I happen to call this home. And one of the very interesting things about this tiny community right in the middle of the Greater Des Moines Metro is the diversity of so many things. There's half a dozen restaurants that are attached or grocery stores that are attached to immigrants and refugees. Would that be accurate?
Definitely. One of my favorite restaurants is actually Kathmandu, and that was opened by Bhutanese refugees that came here. We have a Puerto Rican restaurant, Mexican restaurant. We have Ao's, which is an African grocery store. I'm sorry, Ao's is a Mediterranean He is actually from Iraq, so he sells a lot of Middle Eastern food. And then
delicious stuff, by the way.
Very good. And then Trusty's is an African grocery store.
It's right next door, right?
Right next door.
Yeah. So one of the amazing things in this, but I'm sure that they chose this community because of its central location and easy to get to from just about everywhere. And breaking news that there is a new restaurant / cafe bakery opening up with a heavy French accent, and that is scheduled to be open sometime later in the summer. So good stuff happening, and congratulations. I'm so hopeful that everybody stays well and that you can celebrate the entire month of June in recognition of refugees and immigrants. So, Stephanie Morris, thank you so much for spending time. You got something.
Yeah, hey, I was just going to mention really quick, in addition to the events that we did talk about, and again, this will be on the website, we also have an open book storytelling event in partnership with Culture All that's going to be happening at the Juneteenth celebration downtown Des Moines. We're going to have a few different Guess Who's Coming to Dinner also in partnership with Culture All. So the first one will be at the Vietnamese American Community in Iowa, their cultural center. So there will be food and music, presentation, storytelling, a lot of different great activities. And then there is a World Refugee Day celebration that will be happening actually on Monday, June 20th, as part of Art Week. And that will be at Perkins Elementary in the Franklin neighborhood. And then last, we also have an Anne Frank exhibit that will be coming from the Anne Frank Center of the United States. So we are very lucky to be able to share this with the community. And so that will actually be docent tour led.
That means, by the way, there's a guide.
Yeah, a guide. So the guides will actually be young adults. A lot of them will be from refugee and immigrant communities. But just talking about her story and why, you know, unfortunately, her story and that theme of persecution and fleeing is still so relevant today. All of the events, though, are on the Rossi website, and we have a World Refugee Day tab. I would also say we sell a shirt that says I Am Iowa, and it has about 20-ish different languages.
Really?
That's printed from Ray Gun. And if you purchase it from the Rossi website, 100% of those proceeds go directly to World Refugee Day.
There you go. Now you have a reason to get a new T-shirt from our friends at Ray Gun, the greatest store on the planet, as they say. Stephanie, thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you.
That, once again, is the voice of Stephanie Morris, who is with the Refugee Alliance of Central Iowa, talking about not only what's going on here in Central Iowa, but nationwide in honor of World Refugee Day on the 20th day of June. But in advance of all of that, they've got all kinds of things planned. Grateful for her time and the explanation that we all should take to heart. Well, that's a wrap for today. Thanks so very much for joining us. For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator, sales and marketing Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease, and the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Stephanie Morris, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.